greater connectivity benefits the greater good. And Qualcomm invented 5G breakthroughs that make it possible. See us where 5G is taking on some of the world's biggest challenges. Join us in making the world more connected with 5G.
This is your tech news briefing for Thursday, March 10th. I'm Zoe Thomas for The Wall Street Journal. The list of companies pulling out of Russia over its invasion of Ukraine continues to grow. It includes several tech giants like Apple, Samsung, and Dell. But while the US and its Western allies are placing more and steeper sanctions on Moscow, China has opposed such measures. And as Western businesses pull out, Chinese tech firms have a potential opening. On today's show, our Asia-based tech reporter Dan Strumpf will discuss how Chinese tech companies are weighing up this opportunity and the potential pitfalls they could face. That's after these headlines. As the war in Ukraine continues following 2 weeks of fierce fighting, global cyber defenses are becoming a higher priority. Telecommunications ministers from the European Union, Norway, and Switzerland met this week in Paris to discuss cyber and tech strategy. The group went over ways to secure their national systems and spread the word in the event of a hack. Also on the table, developing methods of solidarity so that a cyber attack on one country is considered an attack on all. Our tech reporter Sam Schechner says representatives are also looking for ways to tackle disinformation about the war.
They spoke with each other and also in the presence of representatives of Meta, the Facebook owner, Google, and Twitter. And in that instance, they were basically calling on them to do more faster, to have more Russian and Ukrainian speakers helping with content moderation. The companies were saying that we already do quite a lot on that front. That was a non-binding sort of call for those companies to act more in a crisis situation. There's not really the power for the EU to force additional action. There's a current code of conduct. But all of that could change very soon because the EU is in the final stages of approving what would be a new law called the Digital Services Act that will create binding obligations on companies regarding content moderation.
You can hear more from Sam on this morning's edition of our sister podcast, What's News? Amazon says customers in Russia can no longer order products on the retailer's site or use its video streaming service. The company suspended operations there yesterday as part of a broader effort to cut ties with the country, though Amazon's Russian customer base is minimal. The company had already stopped accepting new customers for its cloud computing arm AWS in Russia and Belarus. It's also said it's providing cybersecurity support to Ukraine. Staying with Amazon, we report exclusively that a congressional committee is asking the Justice Department to look into whether Amazon and some of its executives criminally obstructed Congress. That's according to people familiar with the matter and a letter sent to Attorney General Merrick Garland by a bipartisan group of members on the House Judiciary Committee. The letter, viewed by the Wall Street Journal, accuses Amazon of refusing to provide information that lawmakers requested as part of their investigation into the company's competitive practices. An Amazon spokeswoman said there's no factual basis for the allegations and that the company was cooperating with the investigation. More news out of Washington. The U.S. is considering new rules around crypto. Yesterday, President Biden instructed federal agencies to look into the possible financial and environmental risks created by cryptocurrency, as well as its potential benefits. According to a White House fact sheet, around 40 million Americans have invested in crypto. The agencies will have several months to prepare a report on the impact the $1.75 trillion market presents to consumers, investors, and the broader economy. Biden also asked agencies to review the possibility of issuing a digital version of the dollar, something other countries' central banks have been experimenting with. There may also be new rules around reporting cyber attacks. The Securities and Exchange Commission is proposing a rule that would require publicly traded companies to disclose data breaches and other significant cybersecurity incidents within 4 days. The proposal is part of the agency's effort to strengthen financial markets against online attacks. Public companies are required to disclose risks and incidents they deem to be material to investors, but the SEC says disclosures of cyber attacks have been inconsistent. The proposal will now be open to feedback from the public. And Tinder has a new safety tool. The app maker says it will start helping users run background checks on prospective dates. The move comes as Tinder faces pressure to address safety concerns following sexual assaults and other crimes linked to the app. All right, coming up, more Western businesses are pulling out of Russia. What does that mean for the companies that stay behind? We'll discuss after the break.
Greater connectivity benefits the greater good. And Qualcomm invented 5G breakthroughs that make it possible. See us where 5G is helping to make remote education more accessible. Join us in making the world more connected with 5G.
The world is increasingly divided in terms of where it gets its tech from. Consumers in the US and Western Europe tend to buy their products from companies based in the West, while the developing world is increasingly getting its tech from China. But one place where the market was still pretty open to companies from both sides of the world was Russia. That is, until Moscow decided to invade Ukraine. That's led the US and its allies to put in place sanctions, causing many Western tech companies to suspend operations there. So, is this an opportunity for Chinese tech companies? Joining us to discuss this is our Asia-based tech reporter, Dan Strumpf. Hi, Dan. Thanks for being here.
Sure, no problem.
So, Dan, over the last week, we've seen Western tech giants halting sales in Russia. But in the scheme of tech sales, how big or important is Russia, and how much of the market share do Chinese companies control?
So in the grand scheme of things, Russia is actually not a huge tech market. It's about 2% of the global smartphone market. It's about 2% of the global PC market, and roughly the same share of the global market for telecom equipment, things like 5G equipment and wireless equipment, things like that. It is the biggest market in Europe for cell phones. So, you know, it's not insignificant, but it pales in comparison to markets like the US and China. That said, you know, it's a pretty hotly contested battleground for a lot of the world's tech companies. I mean, it's one of these markets where you've got, you know, the full slate of American tech companies competing head to head with, you know, this full slate of Chinese tech companies, a lot of which you might not have heard of back in the US that don't compete there. So, you know, it's not huge, but it's significant in terms of the companies that are on the ground there.
How is this moment being viewed then by Chinese tech companies? Do they see an opening?
So it's a complicated picture for Chinese tech companies, right? Because on the one hand, you know, you've got all these American tech giants and other tech companies outside of America pulling out of Russia, suspending sales, and trying to navigate this new complex world of economic sanctions that are being imposed on Russia. So you'd think in theory, you know, that would create an opening for a lot of Chinese companies that compete with these American firms. So for example, I mean, you know, Apple has suspended sales to Russia, Dell, HP, Samsung, which, you know, is South Korean, but they're the number one player in the Russian smartphone market, and they've suspended their sales there. So in theory, that should create an opening for, you know, tech companies in China that compete there, like, for example, Xiaomi is the number two smartphone company in Russia. Lenovo is the number two PC maker in Russia. And of course, Huawei is the largest company in the telecom equipment space in Russia. So, you know, the reality, though, is that it's not quite so easy. I mean, of course, you've got this really complex logistical and financial kind of quagmire in Russia right now. I mean, it's very hard to get goods into Russia, just given all of the sanctions and actions by other companies. And then the whole financial picture in Russia is a mess. And, you know, no company wants to get stuck with unpaid invoices and, you know, trouble paying workers and things like this on the ground that, you know, you're already seeing emerging in Russia. So, you know, ramping up sales and sort of grabbing this market share, you know, in normal times is a challenge. But right now in Russia, it's, you know, there's even bigger hurdles to kind of overcome for a lot of these companies.
So you mentioned some of the effects that Western sanctions are having on Russian companies and could have on Chinese companies. But China hasn't signed on to these sanctions. I'm wondering what effect they could have on sales of Chinese tech in Russia.
Yeah, that's right. China hasn't signed on to a lot of these Western sanctions that you've seen so far. And Chinese companies haven't voluntarily sort of stuck their neck out and, you know, announced any kind of suspension of their sales or activities on the ground in Russia. So, you know, in many cases, you know, a lot of these companies are taking their cues from Beijing. And, you know, to some extent, they're likely waiting for some guidance from Beijing. I mean, Beijing has already come out against these Western sanctions. You know, I mean, China is subject to a lot of American sanctions, and it's no secret that they're, you know, kind of opposed to this sort of form of economic coercion. It's a sort of a tightrope that a lot of these Chinese companies are walking, right? Because these sanctions are pretty complex, and they actually reach quite deeply into the technology supply chain. So one aspect of the sanction, for example, it's known as the foreign direct product rule. And what that does is it essentially restricts the ability of a tech company, of any company, to export goods to Russia if those products are made using U.S. technology of some kind or another. So, you know, that can include things like microchips that are made using U.S. equipment, even if they're made by, say, a Chinese company. And then on the other hand, you've got, you know, a sort of very vocal Chinese consumer base that if they see one of their domestic brands kind of joining along with the U.S. or the West, you know, they might get a local backlash. So, for example, you know, there was an unverified report that Lenovo a couple weeks ago was joining in and halting sales to Russia, and they faced a huge backlash on Chinese social media over that, and there were calls to boycott Lenovo in China. I should say Lenovo hasn't commented on what it's doing in Russia and hasn't verified that report.
Some of these sanctions that the U.S. imposed on Russia include barring the exports of products made with U.S. technology, and that's actually a model that we saw used against Chinese tech giant Huawei. I imagine seeing that kind of strategy used would strike a chord with Chinese tech companies and with the Chinese public.
Yeah, no, that's right. This was a kind of a novel form of sanctions that was first applied to Huawei in 2020 and now is being applied to Russia generally. And, you know, it sort of really pushes the boundaries of what export controls can really do in that, I mean, typically export controls, they apply to, you know, just kind of your domestic American companies. You know, that's kind of where the arm of the law ends, right? I mean, this is what you saw with Iran, for example, or Venezuela. But, you know, this foreign direct product rule really goes a lot deeper. It sort of catches a much wider array of foreign companies into American export control regimes and really, you know, forces a lot of foreign companies that rely on U.S. technology in some way to comply. And yeah, I mean, it's hugely onerous for those companies and it puts them in a bind because complying with a U.S. sanctions regime, you know, might not put, say, a Chinese company in the best graces of Beijing. So they're in some ways kind of dealing with two masters there.
All right, that was our tech reporter, Dan Strumpf. Thanks so much for joining us, Dan.
Thanks a lot.
And that's it for today's tech news briefing. If you want more tech stories, check out our website, wsj.com. And if you like our show, please rate and review it. You can do that wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Zoe Thomas for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.
Thank you for your interest in the WSJ podcasts from The Wall Street Journal. We're always looking to improve, and we're interested in hearing your opinions. Please go to wsj.com/survey and take a survey that will help us bring you more of the content you're looking for. Thank you for your time and support.